This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball, it's good! The flipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! This place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim, on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Of course, you can always find us on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, good afternoon. I almost said good morning.
It's after 12. You almost said good morning, yeah. I just wonder, you know, you think Trump's listening today?
Today, for sure.
He needs to Twitter about our show.
You know, he twitters about everything. It'd be crazy.
He's Twittered about everything else. I think he needs to Twitter about our show because I know he's got to be a big fan.
I know he's been listening. We get all the information on the SoundCloud listening, and we could tell where you listen from, on what type of device you were listening on. And we've got him plugged for Mar-a-Lago with an iPhone 7S. So pretty good stuff there, Steve. We had some basketball to watch last night, and I had a revelation, and I was thinking about it as I was taking a nice walk last night. And my thought was, I love football. Don't get me wrong. I love football. I love college football. And at one point, I was a college football addict. My friends and I, we would take every game from the entire year and predict them in like July.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love football. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love the NFL. But there's something different about college basketball to me that there can be a random game on any night of the week, and I'm going to watch it. And it is the only sport that I'm like that. I wouldn't do that with the NBA. I wouldn't do it with the MLB. I wouldn't really do it with the NFL as much, a little bit. But with college football, you can throw out Long Beach State against Rhode Island, and I will watch it. I don't understand how my brain works that I love college basketball so much, and we're back into this season. We get through Feast Week, and now the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I don't care about many of those teams, but I'm watching it.
Has the Big Ten won?
They won one. Purdue won last night.
Who'd Purdue beat?
Purdue beat, well, I was watching it. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
But Purdue won.
Yeah. And that the ACC definitely dominant over the Big Ten now. I mean, you can watch. It's amazing when you look at the TV listings, how many games there are. I mean,
Purdue beat Louisville.
Louisville, okay. Well, Louisville's in, you know, they lost their coach and some of their players and their assistant coach.
Interesting scandal there.
Yeah, scandal there, but it seems like scandals are the word of the day anymore.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just hoping one of those doesn't crack down here at Mid-Kansas Radio.
I don't think we got to worry about that. But anyway, yeah, college basketball is I watch college basketball because I can't stand the NBA until June.
I like big NBA games, I'll watch the stars.
I just do not – because I don't think they – in the NBA, I don't think – there's nights – you can just tell nights they're just taking off. They're on half speed. I mean, they're playing like – say it's the fourth game in 5 days. Those guys are on cruise control. So that's why I watch a lot of college basketball. Of course, I really watch a lot of Big 12 college basketball and you know, KU, K-State, and plus, which I love to watch Wichita State. I like how they play. Now, I did not find that game anywhere last night.
I couldn't find it either.
Yeah, Savannah State, so I mean.
Big market.
Yeah, big market for that game, but Samaje.
Woo!
Wow, Wichita, I think he's from East, maybe.
Yeah, Wichita East. I saw him play
Samaje Haynes. Samaje Haynes-Jones, or Jones-Haynes.
Haynes-Jones.
Haynes-Jones, 31 points off the bench for the Shockers. He is a blur. You know, that's why I like him, because he and I relate. You know, he's the blur.
Yeah, you're the blur of Southeast Kansas.
I used to be the blur when I was a little kid, and he's the blur now. And I like watching Wichita State play. Now, Landry Shamet, that's a little concern for the Shockers, injured.
Yeah.
And
he rolled his ankle in the first half and so sat out the entire second half. And, of course, he had been dealing with the foot injury. And I think that it's not that he just rolled his ankle and hopefully will be fine for that team.
But I like to watch the Shockers. I think maybe does K-State tonight? I think K-State's
tonight.
Well, I won't be able to see that. I'll be at McPherson College is home tonight against Southwestern. So fans that don't have anything to do, get on out, catch the Bulldogs tonight. They can use your support. The women's game at 6 o'clock will be really good. And then the men's game, Southwestern comes to town averaging 100 points a game.
Not bad.
Yeah, they are a machine. Of course, coached by former Central Christian College coach Matt O'Brien. He's now, it's hard to believe, Matt's in his ninth year down there. That means Tony Romero's in his ninth year here because Tony succeeded Matt. And, of course, Tony was Matt's assistant for a couple years. And Tony's kind of continued the legacy. He's averaged almost 20 wins a year down at Central. Does a great job. But, anyway, college basketball, what a great game. And then, of course, Friday.
Oh, stuff, yeah.
What we really like to watch.
Then the good stuff gets going.
High school basketball.
Yeah. K-State takes on Oral Roberts tonight. Oral Roberts is a whopping 1-6 on the season. I am so excited for Friday night to get high school basketball rolling again, and I'm sure you can go look at my office, and I've got 100 different things scattered on desks, ready to go, talking with both the coaches this week. Steve, you and I, this is the time that we live for. We live for Friday nights in the fall, but Tuesday nights and Friday nights in the winter, it's hard to beat.
Yeah, it really is, and this is going to be a special year.
Well, just look at how we get things going
with
the big games to start.
Yeah, you know, once we have the the light snack with El Dorado, then next week, Derby at home, the Derby boys are number 4, the Derby girls are number 2, and then the road trip up to Kansas City, I think it's maybe Roland Park, is that where Miege is?
That might technically be where it's at, which, I mean, Roland Park is essentially Kansas City.
Yeah, we go to Kansas City and the big rematches with Miege. I know the boys team is really excited because, you know, there's no Bowl anymore. They still have, you know, there's no Samaje Ray, no Landry Weber, no Francesco Badocchi, but they still have Jeremiah Robinson Earl, one of the top players in the country. They got Joshua Early, who's been recruited by K-State, among others, even though he never hardly got off the bench against us last year. And then, of course, they will have a whole cast of newcomers, I'm sure.
Let's just be glad that Travis and Trevor Relaford are not there anymore. And
right.
I don't know if Shane Ray played basketball, but I'm sure he would have been good if he wanted to go play.
Yeah.
I'm glad none of those guys are there.
But it's a huge week next week. And really, this is a nice tune-up for the Bullpups Friday night. They're not going to be tested. I've already got my pre-seed done for tomorrow, but I'm not posting it till tomorrow. I want it to be a little fresher for Bullpup fans. But both El Dorado teams, not good. I mean, they are not good.
What's the status on the magazine?
The magazine is still, it's at the printer. I'm going to call tomorrow and we're going to, I'm going to send the PDF. I've got the PDF. I will send it off, or I will have it posted sometime tomorrow. If not tomorrow, first thing Friday. So people can at least see. The big hope is we'll have them at the first game against Derby. And we're excited about the magazine, and I know people are. I've had a lot of people say, "Hey, when's the magazine coming out? When's the magazine coming out?"
They've been calling like crazy.
Oh, I know. We've had people stopping in. So anyway, excited about that. But we will have them Tuesday for sure at the home game. That's when we'll give them out, and I'll get them out to the area schools. I've got all my various people that get them out.
Yeah. A little later on in the show, we want to talk a little bit about Eli Manning and the situation that is happening there with the New York Giants. That news broke right after we got off the air yesterday, and so we didn't get a chance to talk about that. Also, we want to talk more about the college football playoff as the new rankings came out last night and what that will mean for the conference championship games this weekend. But the one thing we did not hit on at all, Steve, in the open there, was talking about the number 2 Kansas Jayhawks beating Toledo last night 96-58. And 96, you might go, wow, that's a lot of points. They could have scored 126 points last night. They were unstoppable on offense. And yeah, I get it's Toledo, but KU to me has never looked that good on offense. They didn't miss anything the whole night.
Yeah, they scored 59 points in the first half. They were making threes from everywhere. They're getting up and down the floor. And I was more impressed, though, with their defense.
Yeah.
After about the first 6 minutes, I thought defensively they were really, really good. They were getting up in people. Legero Vick has turned into a stopper. It looks like Malik Newman has really bought into the defense, too, because I thought he guarded really well. Azubuike and Lightfoot continue to stay out of foul trouble. But Saturday, we're going to find out how good the Jayhawks really are. That flummoxing 3-2 zone that Jim Boeheim will throw up there, it's been like a dragnet. KU has not had much success with Syracuse. They've kind of been a thorn in the side, of course, going back to the championship game.
Carmelo.
Carmelo. Back when Heinrich and Collison, I believe, that might have been their last year, I think, at KU.
Sounds right.
They met in the championship game, and, of course, Hakeem Warrick blocking Michael Lee's three-point shot right at the end of the game to save the game for Syracuse. KU has got to prove they can make shots against good teams. You know, they didn't shoot the ball well at all against Kentucky, and really Kentucky's the only decent team they have played so far.
Well, speaking of throwbacks, tonight on ESPN at 6:30, Michigan against North Carolina, which is the rematch of the 1993 national championship game and the Chris Webber timeout game. Now, I was not alive to witness this game, but you were very much alive and probably watching that game. What do you remember about that?
What I remember was, if I remember, okay, is that Chris Webber looking all around like, hey, somebody told me to call timeout, you know. He says, I heard it from the bench. And I felt bad for Chris Webber. The Fab Five, though, that was a fun team. North Carolina, the more veteran team, the Fab Five was just five freshmen out there doing their thing, and they were fabulous. But, I knew when he called timeout, I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, they have no timeouts. he just got a technical. And, I mean, everybody knew it because they'd been talking about it on the air that, you know, he can't call timeout now. He can't call. And, boy. Plus, the thing is, he got away with a travel. He took about four steps in the backcourt to begin with. So, That seems to always be overlooked. But Chris Webber, he basically ran with the ball in the backcourt, and the officials had already gone up the court and didn't pay attention. So, that was an amazing ending, and that was a championship for Carolina.
I need to go back and watch that 30 for 30. I've seen it a couple of times, and, of course, after that game, you see the shots of Chris Webber leaving the floor and going to the locker room and not very happy.
No, he basically told anyone with a TV, you know, a camera or a TV camera, where they could go. And, that 30 for 30, if you've never seen the Fab Five on ESPN 30 for 30, they play it a lot.
It was one of the early ones.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And it's really good. It's not up there with Pony Excess, which is on like 60 times a week.
Yeah. It's on a lot.
And I like that one. I also like the U. Because, you know,
then the U Part 2.
U Part 2 also, yeah.
The other one that was on last night was the Survive in Advance Jim Valvano one, because is Jimmy V week.
It is, that has been on a lot lately. And
that one is so good.
Yeah, and really there's not hardly been a bad 30 for 30. There really hasn't been.
There are a lot of really good ones. I watched just a second of the 30 for 30, the Survive in Advance one, and that one is always what I will go play right before March Madness begins, because you remember that run and you remember the team, but it's so funny that they had to knock off some unbelievable, in their prime, best ACC teams that there ever were just to make the tournament. They beat Michael Jordan, they beat Ralph Sampson, then they beat him again with Virginia in the Elite Eight. That was a pretty unbelievable run.
And that's when the three-point shot was just kind of coming into being.
Well, during the ACC regular season that year, they were testing the three-point shot. So when they got to the tournament, it was not there. And it's funny to watch the video from that, because the three-point line is about 2 feet further back from the free throws. Can you imagine how good Steph Curry would be from that three-point line?
Oh, I know. Yeah. And the three-point line, of course, revolutionized the way the games played. I can remember McPherson High's first year. It was like the 87-88 season.
That probably sounds about right.
I think it was the 87-88 season, and then I kept thinking, who's going to be our three-point shooter? And then we get Mark Stauffer, and Mark Stauffer just goes off every game, it seems like, for about four or five threes a game. That was actually the one – we were 13-7 that year. It's like the second worst record our boys have had since I've been here. You know, I've been here since 1979. Our boys' basketball team had one losing season.
82-83.
82-83. Yeah. And that year they were actually 500 for the regular season and then lost in the first round of the sub-state to finish 10-11. So that was a team. What I remember about that team is their biggest guy was like 6'1". So that was one of – in fact, I think it was Jay Frazier's last team. That was the year before Mike Henson took over and started his incredible run, which built on Jay's incredible run. And, of course, Kirk Kinnaman is built on Mike's –
not a bad run.
Yeah. What a – I mean, you know, I've been blessed as a sports writer to cover the basketball teams of McPherson High boys and McPherson High girls. Now, the girls, when I first got here – a couple state they played in the state championship game first year I was here. They won it the next 2 years, and then they had a little stretch there of about 4 or 5, about several years where we weren't very good. When I mean very good, we only won like 12 or 13 games.
Yeah, real rough.
But the last 25 years, I mean, we've been to state 22 times on the girls' side. So
not bad.
Yeah, so I have just been so fortunate to have covered such great high school basketball in McPherson. We've also had some great area basketball since I've been here.
Mound Ridge, what did they win, 5 in a row?
Yeah, they won. Well, they didn't win 5 in a row, but they won 5 under Vance Unrau. And then, of course, Mound Ridge girls had their stretch where they won 3 or 4. When Lori Kane was there, they won some. Inman, I mean, all the area schools, I believe, not except for Elyria, I think they've all pretty much won a state championship since I've been here. Of course, Little River, the girls there, 91 in a row, the fabulous run they had with Nikki Ramage, the Pros girls, the Rogers girls, Betsy Cordell and all that. So I've been blessed to cover just amazing basketball.
Yeah, and of course, with the area teams, we will have the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on Saturday morning from 8 to 9. We sent out the big email this week of reminding them to come here. We are excited about that. I'm excited to get some Perkins breakfast on Saturday morning. I don't eat a lot of breakfast. And so when I will wake up and get here and smell some eggs, smell some pancakes, some sausage, I will be living the good life.
There you go.
We've been a little bit all over the place so far today, but after the break, we'll dive into one narrow topic, and that is Eli Manning being benched after 210 consecutive starts at quarterback for the New York Giants. We dive into that next on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meads Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KDE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Steve, you and I were a little bit all over the place in that first segment. We got to talk a little bit about KU. We got to talk a little bit about Wichita State, both of them with wins last night. We didn't get to talk much about the coaching carousel, but nothing has really changed since we were on yesterday. But one thing that has changed since we were on yesterday is the starting quarterback for the New York football Giants, as Eli Manning, who has been at the helm of that team since 2004, is benched. And Ben McAdoo, the head coach of the Giants in his second season, has decided to make the change at quarterback and go with Geno Smith.
Wow.
The very successful Geno Smith in the NFL.
I thought he was with the Jets.
Well, he was at one point.
He didn't have to change locker rooms.
He got punched in the jaw.
Yeah, yeah. Geno Smith from West Virginia. I tell you, my thoughts on this is Eli Manning has handled this with unbelievable class. I mean, unbelievable class. He's basically being told, we don't want you anymore. And he said, they said, well, we'll start you to keep your 210-game streak going. He says, no, if you want to play those guys, play them. The streak's not that big a deal. So Eli Manning is putting team above individual accomplishments. The Giants are a mess. How the Chiefs ever lost to the Giants is just it's just baffling to me because they are horrible. I mean, they are absolutely horrible. They're 2-9. One of their wins, of course, over the Chiefs in that infamous overtime game. But,
and they beat the Broncos, I think.
Yeah, they beat the Broncos. Yeah, they ought to be in the AFC West. Maybe they'd win more games. But anyway, the Giants are just a mess. Ben McAdoo's out the door. There's no doubt. The players don't want him. The GM's probably out the door. They just need to blow that thing up. But Eli Manning not starting, I could see it if he was hurt, but, I mean, good grief. What are they thinking?
And to me, my first thought with this is similar to my opinion with Alex Smith, in that if you want to make this decision, wait until the end of the year and give the next starting quarterback a full offseason to take the number one reps, a full offseason to be prepared to be the starting quarterback. And to me, Eli Manning has earned that right, to where if he doesn't want to start and they say, hey, Eli, what do you think? Then maybe if it's his decision, okay. But
and have you seen Geno Smith?
Oh, he's terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
I just think that Eli Manning has earned the right to be able to finish out this season. What do they have to win? What's the difference in him starting the rest of the way?
I figured out why they're doing this. They know if Geno Smith quarterbacks, they've got no chance to win, which means they're going to move up into the draft.
Tank.
They're tank. They're going to be right now. I think
it's going to be hard to beat the Browns.
Cleveland is just locking it in.
They're
almost locked in at one. I think the 49ers have lost two, and then the Giants have lost three. So the Giants are looking So the Giants are looking. You know, they're going to be way up there. And of course, I don't know. You know, in the quarterback, there's some pretty good quarterbacks that could come out.
Yeah, there's Josh Rosen from UCLA and Sam Darnold from USC, and then the guy from Wyoming. I can't think of his last name. But there are some good quarterbacks that will be available.
Yeah, and so tanking, it goes on in every sport. We've seen it in the NBA. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers, the process, you know.
Trust
look at
it.
Hey, they're 11-8 now. They went one year where they didn't even hardly win 11 games, and now they're 11-8. Although LeBron took it to him the other night. But anyway, getting back to the Giants, so Geno Smith, they're not going to win with Geno Smith quarterback. And
they play
the Raiders, which is no good for the Chiefs, because that means the Raiders will pound the Giants, and that'll move them into a tie with the Chiefs if the Chiefs, you know, lose again at the Jets, which is very possible.
Are you a Mike Francesa fan from the New York radio market?
He gets a little overbearing to me sometimes, but he wasn't like the Mad Dog. But
the Mad Dog, Mike and the Mad Dog,
Mike and the Mad Dog. Francesa. What I remember Francesa most about is when Miami played Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and Miami wasn't going to play for the national championship. And they got about 230 yards worth of penalties with all their antics, and he says, "This is a disgrace." But what did Mike Francesa say?
Oh, he went off yesterday, and he was just ripping Ben McAdoo, and one of the points that he was making is Eli Manning is the only reason that the Giants are relevant, because he took them on the road in two different playoffs and won two Super Bowls against Tom Brady, and that he's sitting there going, the GM would be nothing without Eli Manning.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
And that was the next question I was going to ask you. Mike Francesa said he thinks he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I think part of it comes back to his name, of course, his dad being Archie, then Peyton, and then him, and he has two Super Bowl MVPs.
That buys you a lot of credibility with the
voters.
And
210 consecutive starts.
Yeah, that buys you a lot of credibility, but for me, their teams were built more on defense. Eli didn't win games, he managed games. He's kind of the East Coast version of Alex Smith.
And all the great players, Michael Strahan, Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Tuck.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those really good defenses from those years. It's kind of hard to think about it, thinking back, that an Eli Manning-led team was somehow able to knock off Tom Brady's Super Bowl runs twice and knock off the undefeated New England Super Bowl team. I was still a little bit too young to understand a lot of that, but I was old enough that I watched it and I understood the impact of that game, and I can remember the David Tyree catch on the helmet. But now that you know what Tom Brady is, and now looking back at that team and knowing how good they were, it is unbelievable that they lost.
And you look at Eli Manning now, though, the worst running game in the NFL. All his receivers are hurt.
Yeah,
terrible
O-line.
Yeah, the offensive line, one of the worst in football. I mean, how's the guy supposed to win a game? They're still pretty good on defense. They showed that against the Chiefs, but that offense, Man, it is barnyard.
Now the thing that scares me is that he's going to pull a Peyton Manning and go to Denver and use that great defense and win another Super Bowl and beat the Chiefs and just drive me bananas. Okay, on the other side, we talk a little bit more about the college football playoff with the new rankings coming out last night and what that will mean for the conference championship games coming up this weekend. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Final segment wrapping up the show here halfway through the week on According to Jim. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. If you want to listen to us on podcasts like a lot of our faithful listeners do, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, we are looking ahead to a college football weekend. Not much college football remaining around here with K-State awaiting on a bowl game, KU awaiting on a bowl game in 25 years, but this college football weekend is one that I have a feeling is going to be wild. And ever since Miami lost on Friday, I have been pulling for chaos in the college football playoff rankings.
Mass chaos.
And we've kind of got that because we're at the point, there's one game left for all of these teams and Alabama doesn't even play, but the top eight teams are still alive. And this is where this college football playoff ranking, we talked about it a little bit yesterday that we think it will end up being eight teams at some point, but this is going to be a hard four-team field to pick, and there are going to be a lot of people that are really mad at the end of this weekend.
Well,
I think the rankings come out on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, but the new ones came out last night.
Yep.
Clemson is one.
Auburn, two. Oklahoma 3, Wisconsin 4.
There you go. So that puts Clemson against Wisconsin. If it stayed the same, that puts Clemson against Wisconsin and OU against Auburn.
That would be a great game.
And Alabama left out. Here's what's going to happen. Ohio State's going to beat Wisconsin. Telling you right now. Alabama's going to end up number 4. That's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you right now. Then we're going to have Clemson, Alabama. Again, what is this, Clemson, Alabama 3 or 4,
yeah,
whatever, in the semis, though, this time, not the championship game. And then you're, you know, OU and who's the other? Now I'm already drawing a blank.
OU, we also mentioned Miami or Clemson, then Auburn against
Auburn.
Georgia. The winner of that,
yeah,
probably gets
it. Auburn's already drilled Georgia once, probably do it again. So OU, I think OU beats Auburn, and it looks like OU and – whoever wins the 1-4 game. I'm telling you, Alabama gets in, they'll win it. I'm telling you right now. I'm a big Alabama believer. I don't like them, but I believe in them. I just think they had that one hiccup game at the wrong time, but they're still, I mean, if you've got the top recruiting class in the country 6 of the last 7 years, you better have stockpiled a lot of really good players. And I'm always a big believer the team with the best players is going to win. It's like Coach Kinnaman always says in basketball, and Coach Strathman says, we'll have the best player on the floor every game. And I always like my chances when I have the best player on the floor. Taylor Robertson for the girls and Ben Pyle for the boys.
Yeah.
I take my chances with them too.
And we'll talk a little bit more about them coming up tomorrow. Yeah, when it comes to this Alabama team, I've heard some people make the point that Alabama would go into the game with anybody that will make this college football playoff and be the favorite.
They will be.
And so people are going, how could you ever keep them out?
And Alabama, they've got a guy named Bo Scarborough. The guy is an absolute beast. But for whatever reason, Nick Saban has Bill Snyderitis because he only gives Scarborough about 10 touches a game like Alex Barnes. You know,
yeah.
Alex Barnes should get 20.
That's your guy.
Oh, he's my guy.
The Southeast Kansas guys, you got to keep him.
And, man, Bo Scarborough is an absolute beast. I think he's going to be the – when he gets in the NFL and gets unleashed, he is going to be the next big thing. But for whatever reason, they seem to use a plethora of backs. They don't ride Scarborough. They give him about 8 or 9 carries a game. I don't understand it. But I think when push comes to shove, Alabama gets in, Alabama wins it. I'm still on the Alabama bandwagon.
I like Jalen Hurts a lot, their quarterback, and he's just a sophomore. And so he's got, and this does not happen a ton at Alabama. They have a lot of guys that are seniors. If you go back to the guy who was the quarterback for the team a couple years ago, I can't think of his name, it's blanking me now, but A.J. McCarron was one of the few that was a four-year type of guy, and mainly because they didn't think he was going to be much of an NFL talent, but he's actually turned out to do an okay job in Cincinnati. I believe he's still there.
Yeah.
But Jalen Hurts is a guy that I don't know how well he'll translate to the NFL. So at the end of
he's
next
a good
year,
college
he might
player,
be a four-year player.
He's a good college player, and he never panics. And again, Alabama gets in, they're going to win. But I like OU making the championship game too.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts drove them down the field in that championship game last year with not a lot of time left for the, at the time, game-winning touchdown. But then Mr. Deshaun Watson had something to say about that. Okay, the matchups coming up this weekend. We've talked about the Pac-12 title game.
Who
Stanford
cares?
Against USC.
Nobody cares.
I don't think there's any way USC could get in, even though they're 10-2.
I like USC's unis, though.
They are cool.
I like them.
There's something about them playing fight on at the end of the game with the quarterback standing in front of the band. I've always liked that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
During USC's big run, they have that song that they play all the time. And it would just ring the whole game because they were so good.
Oh, yeah.
And they would just have the fight song music going.
Yeah.
Then we have the Big 12 championship game down at Jerry World. TCU against Oklahoma. TCU is at number 11 in the college football playoff rankings.
Not a chance.
There's no way they could get in.
Not a chance.
The only thing that can happen there is Oklahoma lose. And if they lose to TCU, Oklahoma's out.
Yep.
They would be at two losses.
Yep.
Then that opens up the door for not only Miami, but Wisconsin, even if they lose. And that's where this thing starts to get a little bit weird.
Now, let's see, we've got Miami-Clemson, too, don't we?
Miami-Clemson in the
ACC
title game.
And that's not a lock. Clemson,
no, that's going to be a tough game.
I think that's going to be a good game to watch. The U, maybe
that'll be at night.
They'll get all those guys on the sideline, like Michael Irvin and Melvin Bratton and Alonzo Highsmith, and they'll be on the sidelines and saying, you can't lose. You got to keep the U's heritage going.
And that game will be in Charlotte. The SEC title game at the new Georgia Dome, which is Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think. Did you see all the videos of them exploding the old Georgia Dome last week?
That just blows my mind. The Georgia Dome was, what, 25?
That was a good explosion.
What was it, 25 years old?
Yeah, it was not old.
And they tore it down.
I always hear people talk about domes like that that do not withstand the test of time very well, that it was state-of-the-art 25 years ago, and now it's not very good. I don't know what it is about domes.
I don't know. It's just ridiculous to me. They tear. I mean, the Astrodome. I went to the Astrodome.
It's still there, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I went there, though, in 1966.
In the prime days.
Got my picture taken with Matty Alou.
Huh.
I saw the Pittsburgh Pirates play the Houston Astros.
I'm going to want to see that picture to believe it. Okay, so that will wrap up our show today. Coming up tomorrow, we get to talk a little bit about bullpup basketball, the swimming, as well as the wrestling teams will be in action tomorrow as well. But it is a bullpup basketball preview Thursday here on According to Jim tomorrow from 12:30 to 1. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.